Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
I'm going to preach today on joy, the miracle emotion. Joy, the miracle emotion. Let's turn to the word of the Lord, if you would, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 5, 6. I skipped 7 because I didn't want to have to pronounce all those names. And then 8 through 10. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Does that sound familiar? And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And when Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, which means governor, which is the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Verse number 10 is very familiar with me, because in the early 80s, when the economy got so tragic in the United States and here in Texas, and it got very bad here in the church, and we were in a very difficult place. Every morning at 5 o'clock, I would go to prayer, and there were a few people that would meet with me, not always the same people, but a few people would meet with me. And I remember I locked in on this 10th verse, and I would quote that every day when I prayed. And I did it for week after week after week, and praise God, the Lord turned it. And praise God, we gained all we lost and then got a whole lot more in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I heard on national news yesterday that people are giving up on church. They're simply not going to church anymore. But they hasten to say, but they're not giving up on God. Yes, they are. When you give up on God's word, you're giving up on God. The Bible teaches us that God makes the rules. Saul lost not only his kingship, he lost his soul simply because he wanted to change the rules. He never said, I'm backslid. He never said, I'm leaving God. He never said, I'm quitting. He just wanted God to play by his rules. Unfortunately for those that are lost, we don't get to make up the rules. God establishes the rules. This is God's church. This is God's world. This is God's creation. And God makes the rules. The Bible is replete with illustration after illustration that God has relationship with those that dwell or attend his house. There is an attack by secular media, by nominal religion. There is an attack on church attendance. And there's also an attack on what we do when we get here. God esteems passion in pursuit of his presence. I said it last week, not something that I had studied, but just something the Lord put in my spirit. But we are defined by what we assign value to. And when you quit assigning value to God's house, God's word, God's name, God's blood, these are the things that are essential to salvation. And when you don't assign value to coming to God's house, you lose your relationship with the Lord. Remember this, I heard Jerry Savelle preach a message 30 years ago, one of those messages that I think about every few weeks. If the devil can't steal your joy, he can't take your goods. If the devil can't steal your joy, he can't take your goods. And so God is speaking to us today about things that will change our life and please him. We are to be working continuously on pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Coming to God's house pleases Him. Worship pleases Him. Prayer pleases Him. Sharing your testimony and witnessing pleases Him. Giving pleases Him. It takes faith to please God. When we talk about joy, the definition from the dictionary is, it's the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Keen pleasure or elation. And so God told us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I know that there is a war against emotion in church, and there's always been, as long as I can remember, that somehow church is to be a somber place. It's to be a sober place. It's to be a place of repose and reflection. But it's not to be a place where you manifest any kind of emotion at all. You can manifest emotion everywhere else. You can weep at a funeral, and that's acceptable, but not in God's church. Even though the Bible said that God bottles the tears of His people. You can laugh at a club, that's fine, but not in church. You can shout at a ball game, but not in church. Friend, there is a war against emotion, and they now dismiss anything that is spiritual by calling it emotionalism. You have to understand that God put in us these emotions, and when we can take these emotions and devote them to the Lord, they bring a special joy to God and a special strength to us. Now let's look at how this opened. First of all, let me tell you what we're reading about from the book of Nehemiah. Israel, as oft times, had been in great sin, and sin always led to idolatry. Nehemiah is there building the wall. Ezra is there as the prophet, and they are now bringing Israel back from the brink of distinction. Israel has begun to repent. They've begun to turn from their idolatry. They're beginning to receive again the revelation that Jehovah alone is God. And it's in that setting that this text that I have read to you comes to pass. And this is the way it says it in the fifth verse of the eighth chapter of Nehemiah. And Ezra opened the book in his sight, and all the people, as he was above the people. In other words, he was on a platform, just like I am. For he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. You ever wonder why we stand up here? Let me explain to you. Normally, they were sitting, as you are normally sitting. They stood for three occasions, and those three occasions should be here today. Number one, to honor God's word. They stood for that. Number two, to honor the messenger of God. And number three, to show their solidarity with what was being said. And verse 6 says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen. They said amen twice. With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Their double enunciation of amen was to express their passion in agreement with the word of God. And it was followed by demonstrative worship. And so they were having church, much like what we do. When they read the word of God, they stood in reference to it. And they stood when they would make statements that their spirit would relate to. You see people standing while people are preaching, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Becky, visiting guests, speakers, and somebody will stand all of a sudden. And in a normal church, they would not do that. But that's your way of saying with passion, this is a truth that I understand. This is a truth that I embrace. Or better yet, this is a truth that is exemplified in my life. I want to tell everybody. That's the reason why there's just one person standing sometime when a preacher makes a point. They have received that rhema word. It has become a reality in their life, and they stand as a testimony. That's true. What that preacher said has come to pass in my life. And then all of that was followed by demonstrative worship. Friend, God wants us to be people of worship. He wants us to be people of praise. He does not want this to be a collection of people that sit in mourning. He said there is a time for that. mourning and repentance has its place, but it doesn't last very long. There's a time where you need to put off the spirit of heaviness after you've repented, and you need to exercise the joy of the Lord because it is your strength. And he said, there's something else in this text. He said, and I want you to see this. He said, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Share the joy with the unprepared or the unsaved. The scriptural injunction is that joy is not just to be possessed. You say, I've got joy in my heart. Oh, that's good. But the spiritual and scriptural instruction is that joy is not just to be possessed, but it is to be expressed. It is to be manifest somewhere. We are adjured not less than 165 times. I looked it up myself. 165 times in the Bible, we are adjured to express the manifested joy of the Lord. And there is a warning if we do not express the joy of the Lord after we have come to the truth. How many people have been saved in this building? How many people have been filled with the Holy Spirit? How many people know that He is a Jehovah Jireh, that He provides for you? Well, friend, there is a dire warning in the Word of God if we express not the joy of our salvation. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47 and 48, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. He didn't say you didn't serve God. He said you didn't do it with joy and you didn't do it with gladness of heart. For the abundance of all things, God is an abundant God. He said, therefore, thou shalt serve thy enemies. What does that mean? He said, if you do not reach out and possess the joy of the Lord that is your strength, you will eventually become enslaved. That's the reason why you can go to church after church and see Christians that are depressed and fearful and failing in every area of their life because they are enslaved, because they did not learn that the joy of the Lord is their strength. You'll be enslaved to fear, intimidation, failure, depression, on and on if you do not understand the power of the joy of the Lord. The message of Nehemiah to Israel coming out of paganism, slavery, sin, and bondage. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the Lord. But Nehemiah said, put away your weeping. Put away your mourning. He said, go your way. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send portion to them whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord our God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, celebrate your salvation. God wanted you to become a real fan. I think one of the most enigmatic things that I can think of in America is how we're fans of teams. It used to be when you were fans of teams, it was local teams. It was your neighbor and your relatives that are playing a sport. But now we just buy a player and bring him in here, and all of a sudden he's our hero and we're fans. And we celebrate this person. We put murals on the wall downtown. They paint them on the sides of the building and people wear their jerseys. God wants us to be a fan. Have you ever wore a God jersey? Have you ever stood and shouted for the Lord? Have you ever said, He is my hero? That's what he's saying. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He doesn't want you to be a pious, pathetic, quiet Christian. He wants you to be a celebrating Christian. He wants you to be a shouting Christian. He wants you to be a worshiping Christian. He wants you to be a declaring Christian. He wants you to be a Christian that announces, my God is a big God. Wow. These singers today and these worship leaders thrill my soul. I think y'all are just getting better and better and better. And these musicians, praise God. And Sister Becky, you're just getting better every day. Becky's a better wife than she's ever been. Here she is all these years being married to me. She hadn't quit on me. She hadn't given up on me. She just gets better at everything she does. And that's the way we ought to be in the house of the Lord. I know you've been saved a decade or 12 years or 4 years. Don't stop and say, well, I've done enough. It's time that you eat the sweet. Praise God. It's time that you begin to celebrate. It's time you understand the power of the joy of the Lord. The source of joy, praise God. That's what keeps the joy of the Lord prevalent in your heart. What is the source of your joy? You know, some people's source of joy is the fact that they got their education and they got their degree. Some it's because they got the job that they wanted. Some it's because they married the person that they desired. Some it's because they got a bank account or they got the house in the neighborhood they wanted. All of those things are good. But friend, you're in trouble if that is the source of your joy. Because every one of those things come and go. Every one of those things are temporal. But Jesus warned us about that in Luke chapter 10 verses 19 and 20. Behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions. He said, you've got the power over devils and over all power of the enemy. Oh, that's exciting. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is exciting. We ought to jump and holler and shout and run and dance about that. He said, notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Friend, if you will get it resolved in your heart that the greatest thing in the world is getting saved. Oh, we had a wonderful thing happen in the first service. You're not here. Sheriff Ragosa sits on that first seat every Wednesday and every Sunday. She sits there and she brought her brother today and he had never gotten saved. She'd been praying for him for decades, she said. But praise God, he walked down this aisle, tears running down his face, and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. That's the greatest, I told him, that's the greatest decision you've ever made, sir. Nothing like that in life. And friend, if you understand that you're saved, that you're bought with a price, that the devil can't do anything about it, that your enemies can't stop you, that no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand, your joy can be a perpetual thing. It can be an everyday thing. It don't fluctuate like the stock market. It doesn't rise and fall with your job or the age of your car or the condition of your closet. Praise God. But your joy is a constant thing because you said, I'm rejoicing on this one thing. My name is written down in the Lamb's book of life and in the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 5. John said it like this. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And God said, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. When you got saved, Jesus Christ himself had an audience with the Father and pronounced your name distinctly. He went from angel to angel and gave them your name and said, I've written their name down in the Lamb's book of life, and it can't be blotted out. Praise God. Every day of your life, regardless if it's 109 or a minus 9, regardless of whether you got money in the bank or no money in the bank, regardless of whether you got ball tires or new tires, you ought to get up every day and say, wait just a minute, the joy of the Lord is my strength, for my name is written down in the Lamb's book of life, and it cannot be blotted out. Hallelujah. Let's talk about joy for a few moments. Joy is the antidote against weakness. Let the weak say, I am strong. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Just meditate on who you are. That God found you out of 7.5 billion people. God put you on his radar screen. He put you on his GPS. He knows exactly where you are. Numbered your hairs. Praise God, knows you by name. And you ought to say, hey, I am happy. I'm filled with joy. And when you begin to get that revelation and you begin to confess it and you begin to pronounce it and you begin to manifest it, he said, from that that joy will become strength. No matter what you are facing, you'll be like a David facing a Goliath. No matter how big the enemy is, no matter how adverse the problem is, that enemy has to bow to the name of Jesus. And the joy of the Lord gives you the strength to stand on it and cut its head off and say, the Lord has made me able. How many people know you're strong today because you're joyful in the Lord? Here's one that's going to throw you for a loop. Joy is a spiritual aphrodisiac. Did you know that? Many Christians in most churches are spiritually sterile. They never win a soul. They either lack desire or ability to bring someone to Christ. They're sterile. They're impotent. They never produce. They only get a few move-ins once in a while. They never know the joy of what it was to see, I believe his name was Brother Marvin, get saved like we did today. Oh, what a joy it is. There's joy in heaven. There ought to be joy in the church. The text, the many Christians are just so spiritually sterile. They never win a soul. Never win a soul. Never in their life do they win a soul because they don't have enough joy. Let me explain to you. If you get the joy of the Lord strong enough, you won't have to put anybody in a full Nelson. You won't have to get anybody in a headlock. You won't have to break anybody's leg. You won't have to hold a gun to their head. You won't have to hold their children hostage to get them to come to church. They see the joy of the Lord in you, and suddenly it begins to reproduce. Because that's one thing the whole world has in common. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be joyful. And most people are not. They're not happy. They're not joyful. And they're wondering why they can't be. They've tried everything they can try. And many of them reached their goals. And when they got to the pinnacle of their goal, they're still just as miserable now as they were when they started. And they can't figure it out. But when they say, people, that's the reason why this church, we don't want to be crazy, but we want to be happy. We want to be joyful. When a visitor comes into this building, they ought to see you singing with the top of your lungs. You shouldn't just be watching these talented people on the stage. Even if you can't carry a tune, you ought to still make it your best attempt. It's a joyful noise that the Lord wants to hear. Everybody in this building ought to sing. You say, I don't know the words. You know the words now. You have no excuse. We've taken your excuse away. Unless you're illiterate, you don't have an excuse for not singing along and praising God. We want this to be a place of joy. Why? Because joy is a place of productivity. It's a place of reproduction. It's a place that causes people to get saved. If you want your friends to get saved, if you want your family to get saved, if you want your neighbor to get saved, get the joy of the Lord in your very spirit. And then make sure you've got a house of the Lord that you attend on a regular basis that is literally an oasis of joy that when they come in this place, they cannot deny. This is the gate of heaven and the house of God and the presence of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is overflowing. Most Christians are sterile. The text addresses that. This he said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. More pointedly, Isaiah charges Israel with ineptness at best and spiritual malfeasance at worst. In Isaiah chapter 37, verse 3, and they said unto him, thus say Hezekiah, the day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a revival set in America just waiting to be born. But the reason why it has not yet been burned is because the churches are too weak and too unproductive and too sterile. And the reason why they are is the churches are not filled with the joy of the Lord. When the church of the living God in planet Earth, in the United States of America, become joyful places, the happiest place on earth, a place that is happier than a club, a place that is happier than the World Series, a place that is happier than the theater, ought to be the church of the living God. This is not a place of judgment. This is not a place of fear. This is not a place of bondage. This is not a place of condemnation. This is a place where the bound are set free, where the sick are made well, where the dumb are able to speak, and the deaf are able to hear, and the lame are able to weak. Oh, this is a place where the weak can say, I am strong. Something happened to me when I came through those doors. And so Hezekiah, this is a day of trouble and rebuke, of blasphemy, for the children are not come to birth, and there is not strength to bear them. That is the indictment against Israel, and that's the indictment against the modern 21st century church. We're not a strong church because we're not a joyful church. But ladies and gentlemen, every one of you, from the back to the front, from the usher to the Sunday school teacher, from the worship leader to the attendee, ought to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. Look where the Lord found me, and look where the Lord has brought me. My name is written down. It's beyond the shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven when I leave this world. I'm so happy I can't stand it. Praise God. I just got to show somebody. I got to tell somebody. I feel it. It's all over me. I'm saved. I'm saved. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's a message. Isaiah continues after that indictment. He continues. There is a real message to both the barren wife and the single mother. In one translation, it doesn't say sing for joy. It's a shout for joy. Shout for joy. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, I don't know how to shout. Yes, you do. Win the lottery and you'll shout. Win the Kentucky Derby and you'll shout. Make a hole in one and you'll shout. Let your president get elected and you'll shout. Why can't you shout for the Holy One of Israel? The one that saved you and redeemed you and brought you out and cleansed you and inscribed your name unblotted in the life, Lamb's Book of Life. Give God some praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody's about to receive a rhema word. Maybe on the back row, maybe on the front row, maybe somewhere else. Somebody today is about to get healed. Somebody today is about to get delivered. Somebody's about to get an account of money in their account at the bank. Somebody's about to get a job. Somebody's husband's about to get saved. Somebody's child's about to get saved. Somebody's about to get healed. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Isaiah would continue, shout for joy. Oh, barren woman who bears no children, break forth into song and cry loud. You who have never travailed, because more are the children of the desolate woman than her of who has a husband, saith the Lord. He said, if you feel like you're barren, your life's not going anywhere. It's a dead end. No money, no enjoyment. No fun, no nothing. He said, shout for joy. Shout for joy. Becky said, it didn't change my life. Everything in life is a choice. You got to choose to be happy. You got to choose to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And to prove it, I'll shout. I'll shout when nobody else shouts. I'm a solo shouter. I'm a solo dancer. I'm a solo praiser. I don't have to join the choir to sing. I sing by myself. I don't have to get a choir to shout. I'll shout by myself. I don't have to get a choir to praise. I'll praise by myself. Shout unto the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody said, well, I just gave up and quit. I'm sorry. That's because you didn't have the joy of the Lord. Because joy of the Lord is the ultimate motivator. No matter what you are going through, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the one that began and the one that finished it, the guy that wrote it, he wrote the book on joy. Hallelujah. 165 times he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength one way or another. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. No matter what you're going through today, if you can force your flesh to get up and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, the world puts no value on a hallelujah, but praise God, I do. I am identified by what I value and what I assign value to. I think a hallelujah going through a trial, I think it's a rocket. I think it's a mighty weapon. I think a praise God when I've got a bad report is a weapon in my hand. I believe that if I can manifest the joy in the darkest of day, there is a scripture for that. Weeping may endure for the night, but praise God, when you turn on the joy, the sun comes up. The morning comes with the joy. You don't have to wait for the light. You can bring the light. You can shout the light. You can sing the light. You can praise the light. You can dance the light. Hallelujah! The joy of the Lord is my strength. It was that inevitable joy that kept Jesus going on and kept him on the cross. Nothing else would have kept him on the cross. But he said, for the joy that was set before him, he just wouldn't call the angels. He could have called the angels. He could have killed the men. He could have just removed himself from the cross. But for the joy, he stayed on that cross until the job was completed. Nothing motivates like joy. Joy is the deliverer. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, I do not know. But I do know this. If you've got the joy of the Lord, you will get through. And not only will you get through, you'll be bigger on the other side than you were when you came in at the front side. When you got the joy of the Lord. The Bible said, and they laid many stripes on Paul and Silas. They cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison, solitary confinement for two, and made their feet fast in the stocks. But the Bible said this, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The jail shook. The doors came off of their hinges for one reason, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Friend, there is a maturity that you have to find in your Christian walk, and that is, I'll sing the Lord's song in a strange playing. Not just a church on Sunday morning, but when the boss is mad on Monday, I'll find me a corner and I'll praise God. I'll sing the Lord's song in a strange land because I am convinced that the joy of the Lord is the strength. And finally, in closing, joy is the bucket at the well of salvation. The Bible teaches us, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. The mistake of the woman at the well when Jesus sat there and talked to her about her five husbands and one live-in. When she saw the disparity of her life and Jesus' promise, she just thought he was promising beyond his performance. She said, the well is deep and you have nothing to draw. Oh, how many times has that devil made the same mistake about you? The well is deep and the thirst is great and you, sir, have nothing to draw with. And you said, there's one thing you don't know, Mr. Devil. I have got the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is the bucket from which I draw from the well of salvation. Oh, yeah, I've got a bucket. It's called joy. It's enough to drown the memory of five abusive husbands and five broken marriages. The joy of the Lord is enough to drown out everything. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, if you will latch a hold of what I'm sharing with you today, and you will say, I'm making up my mind that when the waters are deep, the skies are black, the storms are great, the depression is real, the attack is genuine. This one thing that I know this, my name is still written and it can't be blotted out. And so I think I'll just take the bucket of joy and draw another water, another bucket of water out of the well of salvation and throw it right in the face of the devil. The Bible said we can quench the fiery darts of the devil. There's nothing better to do than the well of God. You just reach down with your joy, and when the doctor gives you a bad report, you just smile and say, all is well with my soul, because I know the great physician personally, and he is the healer. Friend, I'm going to tell you, a shout at the right time will cure cancer. I'm going to tell you, a praise at the right time will cover an overdraft check. I'm going to tell you, a thank you, Jesus, will stop the enemy's mouth at the right time. You just got to understand, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't let the devil take your joy, and he'll never, ever be able to get your goods. Stand on your feet right now. Throw both hands up and begin to praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There's somebody in this building that's going through something, and you said, I don't know whether I can stand much more. If you get your mind and your eyes off of the problem, and you'll put them on Jesus, and you'll begin to recognize that no matter what happens, it's an unalterable fact that your name is inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And whatever you think is so bad now is very, very short and temporary, and the Lord's going to bring you out and through. And so instead of exaggerating the problem, why don't you exaggerate your praise? Why don't you say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to give a God some praise in this house. I'm going to give him a dance. I'm going to give him a song. I'm going to give him a hallelujah. I'm going to give him some praise. I'm going to give him some worship. And let the Lord turn around, because there is no way that a God will not work in the behalf of a person that is praising him. When you praise God with your joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it is the joy of the Lord. It's the strongest thing in the world. It's stronger than sickness. It's stronger than disease. It's stronger than bankruptcy. It's stronger than hypocrites. It's stronger than demons. It's stronger than enemies. It's stronger than the devil himself. It's stronger than the attack. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the strongest thing in the world. You just can't keep a man down. When you see a hero in God, all you see is his success. But every hero in God can take you back to the place where he was literally surrounded by the enemies. And instead of caving in and giving in, he just stood still and said, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and began to praise God. And so he's writing to us today, Nehemiah. He said, put up your tears. Quit your mourning. It's time to eat the fat, drink the sweet. Praise God, because the Lord is on your side. And if you'll manifest the joy of the Lord's going to bring you out. I challenge everybody in this building that's facing something that's too big for them to get out of your pew. Run. Do not walk to this altar. Don't come with your hands in your pockets. Come with your...